Clearwater Beach, Seminole, Largo, the Reddingtons, 24/7. We are RadioSaintPete.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, right down here on 13th and Central on this 28th of November. It's actually week number three of the Sports Connection. As the new kid on the block to Radio St. Pete, Sunshine 96.7 FM. And as I mentioned the last couple of weeks, our goal each and every Saturday morning and afternoon is provide a little injection of positive perspective on sport. And we certainly have plenty of positive stories on a lengthy Thanksgiving weekend. My favorite time of the year from a television perspective. You've got college football, college basketball. You've got the NFL. And, of course, I'll talk a little bit later. The most important element of this time of the season, not just the holidays, is the incredible, wonderful Christmas movies that I'm addicted to. And most of the males in America are because of the slapstick humor. But anyway, I digress. This afternoon we're going to talk. We're going to be on the air, well, about an hour as on this holiday weekend. Efforting guest, and I understand, was certainly a bit of a chore. But Mark Ferguson or Jake, his son, are going to step by because right now we've got the, in every television, I believe, unless you come down and select, is on Michigan or it's on Florida and Kentucky right now, on every one of the screens. And keep in mind, each and every football Saturday and Sunday, if you have a respective team that you want to watch, just come down here, talk to Jake, talk to Mark, talk to one of the great managers, and they will get that on for you. That's the beauty of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and I certainly enjoy that. Yesterday, I was in, I know that I've been told not to talk too much about Iowa, but I'm certainly going to in this first segment because I had Iowa and Iowa State side by side on the screens. I had a little pull, and I went to Western Kentucky, and they were playing basketball. So talk about a trifecta for a 63-year-old dinosaur sitting there eating some wings, having a little refreshment, and watching the Hawks win, Cyclones win. The Hilltoppers went down, but it certainly was a great contest. Again, you're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection, as I mentioned, the third week. If you haven't listened the first couple of weeks, we're going to do a lot of unique segments each and every Saturday. We're going to start out with conversations from the clubhouse, as we did week number one with Ted Williams Foundation and Dave McCarthy. He's going to join me quite often, and we'll call those dinosaur tales. Dave's in his 60s, and as well as myself, and we'll share our decades of humor, unusual, weird sports stories, and we've got plenty of them, and so we'll do that. On the tee, it's a combination of pros, hacks. I'm the head of the Hack Nation, and yesterday, I don't know if you got an opportunity to watch with all the great games on, but they had an event in the desert made for television. It was Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley taking on Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. And it was a television event. The Match 3 is what it was entitled for charity. And it was a hoot. And I tell you what, Phil Mickelson, Lefty, and Sir Charles, they were the stogie smoking victors. 4-3 over Peyton and Steph Curry. And I've never seen those two so nervous and had the jitters, and they interviewed him after the fact. They said, we've been in MVP finals. We've gotten the MVP award in finals in the NBA and NFL. Standing over a putt when you've got arguably one of the greatest golfers of all time standing there, and Sir Charles talking a little smack, who arguably has the worst swing in the history of the game of golf. I might be right behind him. But he did his best Butch Harmon, who's a legendary coach, and Charles Barkley, that hitch in his giddy-up, disappeared, and they absolutely were in control of that match until the end. But they did prevail, and Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley, if you get a chance to see it, even if you're not a golf fan, the humor, and they're all mic'd up, and it's great. And also, it was for charity, and $5.4 million was contributed through that event that was on TNT yesterday. So what a weekend of sports. Down here today, as I said, right now, you've got Kentucky at Florida. Later on, you've got Auburn at Alabama. Mississippi State is at Ole Miss. This is that time of year, typically, with the exception of COVID, where you've got the interstate rivalries. They may not be a battle of unbeatens or top 10, top 25s, but I tell you what, and yesterday, my favorite team, the Hawkeyes, was a prime example Nebraska and Iowa's. They started playing in 1897. And so those kind of traditions, like Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Auburn, Alabama, those typically took place Thanksgiving weekend. So some of them did stay intact, despite the fact that we have this this COVID interruption and about everything that we're doing in our life. And I had a great Thanksgiving. It wasn't what I was looking forward to. But my family had planned to come down from Colorado and Iowa, and we had every day from sunset, from sunrise to sunset, packed with activities. And unfortunately, COVID hit my son in Denver and the family in Des Moines. So Ma and I had a great Thanksgiving, the two of us, and again, a trifecta for us. We had our Hawks pull it out, Iowa State, and a thriller over Texas. And then in our household, the Fighting Irish, we were doing the Santa Cross and holding on to our rosaries, and they pulled out a great win over North Carolina, the Tar Heels. And speaking of entertainment, tonight, right here at Ferg's ringside, will be Mike Tyson, 54 years young, and Roy Jones Jr., 51 years young. They're squaring off in an eight-round. They're calling it an exhibition. We'll have the fight here at Ferg's. Thank God. We don't have the six-second delay as I had in the normal radio world. But anyway, we will have that event down here tonight starting at 9 o'clock. And you might want to take a nap if you want to watch it, because the reality is there's seven undercards, and those typically go 4 to 8 rounds. And then, of course, the main event will be Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Been a lot of conversation on this because they're only going two-minute rounds. And in professional boxing, it's three-minute rounds. I was involved in boxing in Iowa for years, USA Boxing and Golden Gloves, and those are two-minute rounds, and the women are two-minute rounds. So Roy and Mike weren't too hip on that idea. No headgear, though. 12-ounce gloves for you non-boxing fans, and that means they're ready to do battle. However, they've been told by the California Boxing Commission if there's any blood, they stop it. If it appears that anyone, if they give the 10 count, they will stop it. So they say it's going to be an exhibition, but if you've seen any of the video of Mike Tyson working out, or if you saw the weigh-in, they're both in incredible shape for 51 and 54, and I don't anticipate it being an exhibition. I think it's going to be Rocky Balboa when it was Drago against Apollo Creed. I think it will spur into a battle. As I mentioned, right now you've got the Florida Gators, and Gator fans are rolling in and out. It's tough for me as a Hawkeye fan to see these colors coming in. We used to have some great battles, though, in the Outback Bowl. I think it was a push. It was 2-2 that we watched those epic battles, SEC against the Big Ten. But I want to go back to my conversation on the holidays and how much I enjoy the college football, basketball games. Again, I have to mention it's my favorite team. The Hawks were on yesterday. If you have one of your favorite teams, I guarantee they're playing basketball, or they have this past weekend with all the holiday tournaments and all the adjustments they're having to make in the leagues. But here's my classic list for channel surfing in between the great games. And it takes a lot of talent, this mastery of channel surfing, when you've got college basketball, college football, and the NFL on Sundays. That really throws a curve at you. But Christmas Vacation, the Home Alones 1 and 2, of course. Elf, in the last 5-6 years, I've had more of appreciation for it, and it's gotten on this list. Four Christmases, I love that just because of the actors in there. Robert Duvall is hilarious as the cranky old father, and, of course, anything Vince Vaughn's in. Bad Santa, not a real favorite of mine, but it's got its moments. You don't want the kids to watch it with you. Fred Claus, again, Vince Vaughn, and the epic Red Ryder BB gun, and that would be Christmas Story. It's a cornucopia of difficult decisions for the next 4 weeks, and channel surfing mastery for anybody that wants to have that. First of all, have their woman mad at them, but to enjoy the next 30 days and watch their favorite shows and sporting events. Hey, before Mark Ferguson shows up, I want to talk a little bit about, and everybody else does, but I might as well mention it since we are Tropicana Field, across from Tropicana Field and in the home of the Rays, and I work with the Ted Williams Foundation. I was saddened to see the news of Charlie Morton taking off, going to the Atlanta Braves. The rich get richer, and the Braves will be one of the favorites to win the win it all next year. But Charlie be having a home in Bradenton, and I think, you know, the Rays rolling the dice that he would want to sign for a little bit less than his $15 million, kind of $16 million, excuse me, kind of stunned me. And unfortunately, now there's conversation that Snell's on the trading block. And it's understandable that Rays fans, you know, get upset and get concerned. But if you look at the last couple of years, they have rallied under Kevin Cash. And the bottom line is the bottom line with the Rays. And the reality is pitching arms win championships. So we'll see what happens there. But we'll keep it on a positive note. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSt.Pete.com. We'll give you an indication of some of the games that are on today down here at Ferg's, right here in the heart of downtown St. Pete. In fact, recently, you probably saw this, recently recognized as one of the top 10 locations in America to travel to. And let's go down the Big Ten. You've got Maryland, and keep in mind, you come down here and ask one of them, they will turn the channel for you. Maryland at Indiana, Ohio State at Illinois. Upstairs is packed. We've got Penn State and Michigan. And in the past, that is typically, you know, for the one of the playoff spots, not in Ohio State. But Ohio State, Illinois, Penn State at Michigan, four teams in the Big Ten that are vying for that that spot in Indianapolis. And then, news out of Vanderbilt. They're going to have a female kicker today, and that's interesting. This COVID has certainly created a lot of opportunities for people and a lot of disappointments. Rutgers at Purdue, that's at 4 o'clock. Louisville at Boston College for ACC fans. As I mentioned, Mississippi State at Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, and his gang taking on the Wild Man from Washington State. And then you got Duke at Georgia Tech, LSU at Texas A&M, K-State at Baylor, that's a Big 12 team, a game that typically has ramifications, but not this year. Georgia at South Carolina, I know there'll be a lot of Georgia fans down here at 7:30. And now I got Mark Ferguson, he's going to step in, and we'll talk a little bit about tonight's fight. We'll talk a little bit about his 28th anniversary here at 13th and Central. I got some interesting questions to throw his way, and right now he's actually talking to the boss. He's talking to his beautiful wife and business partner, and his son Jake works here now too, so that's kind of a nice family affair. Jake was I did have to rib him a little bit. He's an FSU grad, and they wear their FSU colors proudly. And Mark Ferguson's going to join me right now. We're going to talk. I was just talking about your love for FSU, and I had a conversation with Jake yesterday, and this morning I'm watching College Game Day, and you saw a Dabo statement about the COVID incident, and they didn't think the mics were on, and Herb Street looks over at, I can't remember who was to his left, he said, wait until Florida State gets good again. He's going to pay for that statement.
We're a basketball school now.
That's what Jake said. I said, it's amazing when you have two picks in the NBA draft this year and one last year in the first round. Now, that's phenomenal. That's Leonard Hamilton. I love the guy. And one of the things that he said is everybody was concerned about the minutes I gave these guys. I tell you, when they come to Florida State, we are team by committee. He said, I have 9 starters typically. He said, and the results speak for themselves. So I think you're right. It is a basketball school now.
He's done a tremendous job. I don't know where he gets these kids from, but he just keeps getting them.
He's a great recruiter. Well, let's talk about tonight let's talk real quick. I just went over the ages. Mike Tyson's 54. Roy Jones Jr. is 51. They're going to go 8 rounds, and they're a little upset about it. They said it's going to be an exhibition. It's 2-minute rounds. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it's 2-minute rounds versus 3 typically. They didn't like that because that's women's boxing. And they're 12-ounce gloves, no headgear. But if you've seen any of the video of Mike Tyson working out recently, the guy's an animal. And I don't see this being an exhibition.
I don't see it going 4 rounds.
No, I don't. If Tyson gets in toe-to-toe. So it was the 28th anniversary. You had a big bash on, I was here for the 25th. You had it on Wednesday. Let's talk about some of the milestones over the years that just stand out to you since you started this in 1992.
Well, the first Stanley Cup, we were here for that and saw that happen on TV. They went seven games. And then, of course, 08, when they made their tremendous run and won the American League East and won the American League, and then they played Philadelphia, and unfortunately we won one game. But it was just, it brought the whole city together. And I think if you look back from 08 on, the city's taken off, and I think the Rays have a lot to do with it.
Well, let's go back to 1992 and how the Rays got here. When the Trop originally, didn't they have arena football there?
Yes, they had arena football. Do you remember the name Stevie Thomas?
Sure. Well, the Iowa Barnstormers and the founder of arena football was Jim Foster. So I was embedded in with them during the Kurt Warner years. But, yeah, I knew you had arena football across the street.
In fact, I remember the first year they started going on a Saturday night, and I said, this is great entertainment. And then 2 years later, I ended up buying this old gas station, and the same year I ended up getting engaged at the arena football game in front of 3,000 teachers. It was teacher night. And Bill Boggs put on the scoreboard, and my whole family was there. They did not know why. And everybody saw it, and my wife started crying for 10 minutes. I thought she was trying to figure out a way how to get out of it. But it all worked out, so that the Tampa Bay Storm has a lot to do with our history here. And also, people don't remember the Tampa Bay Lightning. My second year, 1993, the Tampa Bay Lightning moved from the fairgrounds into Tropicana Field for 3.5 years.
They played hockey over here?
That saved us. I'm dead serious. We were 1 year into it, and we were not doing well. And we got the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we also bought a liquor license from the Gallery Lounge on St. Pete Beach. That's a landmark that's been closed for a long time.
You didn't have a liquor license when you first opened up?
Beer and wine. The second year, Sammy, the owner, I talked to him. He gave me a great deal. I ended up getting the liquor license, and the Tampa Bay Lightning moved in for 3.5 years. It was 3.5 because there was a strike in one of those years. But that gave us enough knowledge to get ready for baseball and keep adding on.
As you added on, now as we look at the gas station was right here to my left, right?
No, the gas station was right here. These columns is where you used to pull in and get gas. And that was in the late 20s. And then in the 60s, they made it into a service station. So there's a bay there, a bay there. There was four bays when I bought it. And that was the main room that we started with. 75 seats, beer and wine, cold food, warm beer. And somehow we made it to our second year.
Well,
now we're in our 28th year.
Well, I think it was 2000. They were still the Devil Rays then, weren't they? They weren't the Rays?
Oh, yeah, yep, Devil Rays.
And I came down from Iowa, and I remember you sat at a picnic table with my two sons and my stepdad. You just introduced yourself briefly, and we thought, I'm a nice guy, you know. Okay, bar then. And then we went to the game. And then when I moved here in 2017, I didn't forget this place, and I was astonished when I saw how you had, would you call, patchworked it together? It's interesting place.
Every year we try to do something different. You know, we added, 2 years ago, we added the dog park, which has been a huge hit. All these apartments, people have one or two dogs. It's crazy. They love the dog park. And then a year and a half ago, we added axe throwing.
I've seen that. That made me a little nervous with alcohol and axes, but it looks very safe.
Yes, it is, and I try to keep the dogs away from the axes.
That's a good idea.
And then next year we're adding the Daiquiri Shack is moving in upstairs and doing a partnership with us, so people will be able to come here and get frozen drinks. And
the Daiquiri Shack off of Gulf Boulevard, right by Madeira Beach, right?
Exactly.
Jeremy, a great spot.
Oh, yeah. They'll be upstairs starting in February.
Freak spot for it.
Well, then they're going to redo the Trop with or without baseball, hopefully
with baseball.
Yep.
You think that's the plan they'll go with, Mark?
I believe that there's a chance in 6 years that they'll move to Al Lang, the old baseball stadium, redo it, make it into a 20,000-seat outdoor beautiful baseball stadium for spring training and for 41 games, and then they'll go to Montreal for 41 games. I don't approve of that, but if they're going to leave and go somewhere else, I do approve for it. So you can't.
Something's better than nothing.
Exactly. And that will open up a whole nother market.
What's that, 84 acres over there?
85 acres. And that will open up a whole nother market of people from Canada to come down here and vacation and spend their money at the new pier, on the beaches. So, but that's not for 6 or 7 years. So let's just slow down and we'll see what happens.
That would be a great location watching a baseball game, though, wouldn't it?
It would be great. And then after baseball gets over, they would have soccer there.
We're talking to Mark Ferguson. He's the founder of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right down here on 13th and Central. And you're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. And I do have to thank you because this was – I always wanted to be a radio guy, but I was a fish out of water coming down the floor. Didn't know anyone. He started introducing me to a few people. It took a couple years to kick me in the butt and get this going. But the timing's great from an excitement perspective where I'm from. And Joe, who's listening right now, Bordeaux, you two had known each other, and that's how I got the connection. But what he's doing with Radio St. Pete and Sunshine 96.7, this whole area is just it's energizing. And I call back to Iowa, you know, and it's 28 degrees, and the kids are all inside. I'm thinking, geez, just move down here with Grandpa and enjoy life.
We have a great city. Joe knows that. And I get so many phone calls all the time from people asking me about housing. Where should I live? They're tired of being up north in this COVID thing, which I want everybody to be safe when you come out, social distance, do the right things, but come out and spend some money with everybody in town. But the COVID thing is making more people move here. St. Pete is not the hidden gem anymore. They know about it. And you'll see that in the next 3 years. We got scooters going up and down Central. I keep seeing them.
I saw you. It was Channel 13 News. It was just a quick glimpse. And they were talking about this. Every station did, obviously. And I thought, well, I was sitting with my mom. I go, I think that's Ferg right there. It was you.
It was a great time. I was with the mayor, and we were showing off the new scooters. But they are in action.
Where were you, in the Trop parking lot?
No, we're in the old police station parking lot. We went way down to Allang Stadium, turned around, came back. It was a great ride.
Really?
I was not drinking either.
I'm a little hesitant to put my old carcass on. I think I'm fit, but I don't know if my body would adapt to that. Speaking of memories, let's go back to sports a little bit. You mentioned events, but what's the most impressive or unique person that has come into Ferg's and you've got to spend a little bit of quality time, even if they're just here for a bite to eat, that you can remember? A couple of them.
Well, if you remember the name Tom Meese.
Oh, from ESPN.
From ESPN.
He passed.
He was here, and he passed 2 weeks. It was 1992. He came in. He was doing something here. I gave him a hat, and I wish I would have got a picture with him. But he left, and then 2 weeks later, he drowned in a swimming pool saving his grandson.
Is that how he passed? I didn't remember that.
That's how he passed. But I only talked to him for a minute. The big one is Craig Sager. Craig Sager, I met in Fort Myers when I was going to school at Edison Junior College playing baseball, and he was on the news down there. And we kind of kept in touch. And then he showed up when the Rays were in the World Series, and, boy, we had a blast. He was such a superhuman being.
And during that cancer, well, first of all, sharp-dressed man, to quote ZZ Top, that was him. I used to love it on the NBA broadcast. The guys in the booth would be like, let's go down to our Craig Sager. And you never knew what he's going to have on, but is that how he lived life with just zest?
Well, here's the big thing about Craig that you don't know. What was he really known for? Everybody thought it was basketball, correct?
Yes.
He was working in Sarasota. He drove to Atlanta one night to watch Henry Aaron break the record, most home runs in a career for anybody, 714.
Fulton County Stadium.
Craig Sager was the first person to interview him. He had a badge on from Sarasota, you know, media.
Yeah.
He jumped the fence and ran to home plate. No, you'll see it on tapes now. He had long hair. He was the first person to talk to Henry Aaron when he broke the record, Craig Sager.
That's great trivia.
Great trivia.
And did he get into baseball broadcasting?
Yeah.
I thought
yeah,
he
sure did. He did all the playoff games.
Yeah,
for TBS.
He was a great talent. And you guys met when you were in college?
Yep, 1977 and 78.
Now, when you take a look at, we talked about the growth of this area. What's your vision? You got your son, Jake, here. Great kid. Thanks for introducing me. I didn't introduce myself, by the way. Great kid. And so, and your wife, Sherry's been with you the entire time. It's a family affair, and that's got to make you feel great. I was watching a Hawk game yesterday, and one of the guy's two sons were playing for him, McCaffrey. And I'm thinking, what more could a guy ask to have his family working alongside him? It doesn't matter if it's basketball or this world or anything. That's got to be a joy for you.
It is, and my daughter helps out, too, with the dog park. She does a lot of things here behind the scenes. My son's a face of Ferg's along with me. And we're going to just keep doing what we're doing and keep watching the city, taking care of people when they come in and going to Rays games and keep, sports makes the whole world connect.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, and as I mentioned today, right now you got the Florida game on, you have great watch parties, and I don't care where you're from. I remember when I was down here in 17 and 18, my buddies from the University of South Dakota, they're about our age group, about a dozen of them. I don't know if you remember that. A dozen of them have migrated and lived down here. They got a hold of me somehow and said, is there any way you can get the USD North Dakota playoff game on for us? It's not on any of the main. It's on ESPN streaming. We put them in the back, 12 guys, and it was all over the websites up in Vermilion, South Dakota, that they were at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and they all had T-shirts made up, Coyote Country, in St. Pete, and I thought that was just an example of if you're listening and you have a favorite team, Jake and Mark and the entire staff will do whatever it takes to try to find that game for you.
If we can find it, we'll put it on. You'll have your own TV. We got 84 of them, so come on down tonight and watch the games. Come in, say hi. I'll be here kind of watching the game and watching over things and having a beer.
Well, Florida State's on at 8 o'clock.
Yes, they are, and maybe there'll be an upset.
All right, my friend. Well,
thank
I appreciate you,
you
taking time out and looking forward to many more broadcasts down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And bring me some guests.
You got it. And, Joe, thank you very much for everything you do for this city.
That's Mark Ferguson. And, of course, as I mentioned, we're going to be here each and every Saturday morning. Morning. I keep saying morning. I'm still on Central Time Zone. It's 11 o'clock. But Mark Ferguson, what a great story. And that Craig Sager story. Very impressive. If you're not familiar with Craig Sager, he was the NBA voice of TNT, before they got Shaq and Charles Barkley. And he would do the on-the-court interviews, and everybody loved him. He would dress, outlandishly. Almost in some cases look like the Joker with his suits. And that became his moniker. And all the other broadcasters would try to one-up him in their attire, but it didn't. They weren't successful. We'll just say that. So that's a great story. Those are the kind of things that we're going to be doing here on St. Pete Sports Connection, is finding people to share stories that you may not be familiar with. I didn't know Craig Sager was down in Fort Myers. In fact, I didn't know that Ferg went to college. No, I knew that. I didn't know that he went to junior college before he went to Florida State. And I did know that Sherry and his daughter were the brains behind the operation when it came to the dog park. Brilliant idea. Come down, even if you don't have a dog. The other day I was watching four or five dogs are just frolicking, having a great time. And there were some children here, and I was hoping to do the same thing yesterday, in fact, with my grandchildren. There's plenty of places to sit right there. You can watch the game, and then the dogs are frolicking right behind you on the chain fence, and he's got AstroTurf down there. It's very unique. I'll just use that term. Come on down yourself. And then again, I got to brag about the food, because it's not typical sports bar fare. I mean, they have a special each and every day. Yesterday was the grouper Reuben. Now, I'm not a big fish person, but I love Reubens. So I did have a taste of that. And John does a superb job, the GM and his cooks down here. But, again, as I mentioned, now tonight, like I said, 8 o'clock is Florida State game. And then at 9 o'clock, you might want to take a nap just in case You plan on coming down and watching Mike Tyson do battle with Roy Jones Jr. That's pay-per-view. Cost you $50 at home. Going to cost you zero here, and you can have a couple beverages as well as order off their great meal. Now, tomorrow, and I'll be down here. Tomorrow is a interesting day for me. I'll be on the planet another year, and I might come down and watch my Green Bay Packers take on the Chicago Bears tomorrow night. And hopefully the Packers bring me a birthday victory. But let's go over tomorrow's games, and each and every one of these will be live on a television here at Ferg's. And they've got watch parties. Tomorrow you've got the Giants and the Bengals. The Dolphins, big contingency down here, obviously being a Florida team, takes on the hapless New York Jets. The L.A. Raiders. A lot of people love to hate the Raiders now that are Tampa Bay Bucks fans because John taking off and moving there. They take on the Raiders, take on the Falcons, the Cardinals, and the Patriots. Chicago, the Cleveland Browns, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of Jags fans, believe it or not, on the West Coast here. Vikings and Panthers, the Colts and the Titans, the Buffalo Bills. Huge Bills contingency if you're a Bills fan. Come on down here and sit with some of your fellow Bills fanatics. They take on the Chargers, the Saints, and the Broncos. Again, another team that has a great following down here is the New Orleans Saints. And then the L.A. Rams, we want to talk about that team as they dismantled the Bucks the other night, unfortunately. Take on the 49ers. Big game tomorrow at 4:30. And if the Bucks can rebound from this game against the Kansas City Chiefs, which currently are the favorites to win their second consecutive Super Bowl, the Bucks look they looked hapless. I mean, I don't understand it, and that's for the other broadcasters to go over. But if you want to come down here, I'll buy you a beverage, and we can chat about it. But, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buccaneers, and that's right here in Tampa. And, in fact, Dave McCarthy, who will be on the show from time to time from the Ted Williams Foundation, he's taking his family. His sons live in Kansas City, and he's going to take them to the game tomorrow. And, as I mentioned, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears, one of the oldest rivalries in the NFL. Two of the original teams, George Halas, of course, the founder of the NFL, and the Green Bay Packers, Curly Lambeau. And a little history there. The Chicago Bears and George Halas, when he started the Bears, the Packers were about ready to go belly up. He let George Halas lent money to Curly to keep the Green Bay Packers afloat, and the rest is history, as they say. And then Monday Night Football, you've got the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll tell you what, Eagles fans are loyal. They've got a bunch upstairs. They'll be there on Monday night, and unfortunately they're having a difficult year, but still an opportunity to win the East, the hapless East. And then everybody was disappointed on Thanksgiving that the Steelers and Ravens got postponed. Well, that game will be played Tuesday night. So, again, that adds a little more channel surfing mastery to you because there'll be college basketball on, I'm certain. There's always a college game on Tuesday. And I think I've already looked ahead, and I'm planning my week. As the temperatures drop, I won't be going down to the beach. I'll be probably watching a double dose of Christmas Vacation. Throw in a haven't watched Christmas Story yet. I'm going to have to catch Red Ryder. Red Ryder BB gun. But those are all the games that are going to be down here tomorrow, as I mentioned. Kickoff 1 o'clock. Just come down here, and they've already had the designated area, so all you have to do is ask. I'll be here. You can ask whoever you see where the Steeler fans will be or your respective team, and then we'll position you right in front of them, as Mark said, each and every Sunday and every Saturday. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. One of the things I'd like to mention to people, if you start listening now, Charles Barkley had a great line today, and I'm going to use a portion of it because I know there's about one person listening today, and it's probably my mom, because the weather is spectacular. Nobody wants to listen to me stumble, fumble, and bumble on a beautiful day. So I'm the guy that's been kind of doing my little rain dance, at least for 2 hours on Saturday, so people have to hunker at home with their computers, or driving around downtown on their radio, and they can listen to RadioSt.Pete.com. But, yeah, gorgeous day today. But if you're listening, and serious about the fact that I want people to send me names or just come down and visit. I'm here from, I get here about 11 to 3 each and every Saturday. Come on down and let's tell your story and I'll get you on the air. It don't have to be that particular week, or you have an idea of somebody that I could give a call to and have them come down and sit and visit. Mark's going to do that because, as he mentioned, in 1993, he was across the street at Tropicana Field, and he was at the Tampa Bay Storm game, and he asked his wife, Sherry, to get married. And, well, the rest is history, as they say. But when you take a look at the 28 years, and they celebrated on Wednesday night, I took a break because it got a little fun down here. But as Mark Ferguson said, he's going to continue to expand the opportunities for everyone down here. And this area is absolutely booming. Before my age deficit disorder kicks in, speaking of the Tampa Bay Storm, and this is a story going back to Iowa, and it's sad, like Mark said, it was great entertainment value. The Iowa Barnstormers, they had a gentleman named Kurt Warner. He was the two-time NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP from the University of Northern Iowa and Cedar Rapids, LaSalle kid. I got to know him when he was at the Barnstormers really well, actually, and I did the game days for those. I loved arena football, the original version, and I think most of America did. I mean, the Elways were owners. Jerry Jones was an owner. There were two or three other ball clubs. Oh, the San Francisco Giants had their own team. And the reality was they were trying to build a farm system for these NFL teams with the original model. But unfortunately, greed got involved, and the players' union tried to get the same type of benefits as they had in the NFL, and that killed the league. But talk about an entertaining game. Just economically, they couldn't do it anymore. And you had the migration. You know, every year, three or four of these arena football guys were going and playing in the NFL. So it was a great time, and I would have enjoyed being over here at the Trop. And the Barnstormers did come down here from time to time and play. And the coach of the Storm was Jay Gruden, John's brother, and that was a great story in itself as well. Well, as I mentioned, it's college football today. Come on down to Ferg's. I'm going to shorten this show a little bit today because, as I mentioned, I didn't have enough time to gather some guests. And there goes Jake. He's leaving the grounds. It's going to be a long night down here at Ferg's. We'll be here till probably about 12:30 tonight. I anticipate the first Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson punch being thrown probably about 11:20. Now, they're two-minute rounds, and it's exhibition. They don't do any ads in between. So the fight will go quickly. Mark predicted the fourth round. I'm going to predict Roy Jones Jr. has got a great chin. I'm going to predict that they probably go, they'll go to the distance, especially for the entertainment value. And the entertainment value, Mike Tyson is getting $10 million, and Roy Jones Jr. is getting $1.5 million. And as I mentioned, Tyson, his overall record was 50 wins, 6 losses, 44 knockouts. Roy Jones Jr., 66 wins, 9 losses, 47 knockouts. These guys are phenomenal. Hall of Famers, obviously. But I did not, I was inaccurate. It's $3 million is what Roy Jones Jr. is getting. So as you wind down your Thanksgiving weekend, which the weather was spectacular here, it's going to get a little frigid, balmy for us northerners. I just want to take time to thank you for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. I want to wish you and your families a